read the scripture here. We're going to talk about God leads you. We're in a series called Jesus in Our Midst. Last week we launched a 40-day season of fasting. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And let's go ahead and jump into our scripture.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him.
Amen. It's the word of the Lord. How many of you remember the movie High Noon? Gary Cooper. Gary Cooper was a sheriff, and he'd put some guys away in prison, whatever. And four guys came back to kill him, and he ended up having no support. Everybody pulled away, and come High Noon, and the four of them came in the town. And this is a wilderness experience. Is Jesus' High Noon. He's had Satan cast out of heaven, and he comes down. It's kind of a turf issue. Jesus is going to launch his ministry, and the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And it's high noon, and so he fasts for 40 days, and he's without any food, and he's very vulnerable. And as we launch this season of fasting, by the way, I want to say, what we invited you to do is go in the classic season of Lent, kind of the thing of take something and to remove it. The Lord's shown some people, some certain ones are not eating meat. When the Lord spoke to somebody, said no coffee. And when the Lord says no coffee, and you're used to a pot a day, that's a sacrifice, isn't it? The sacrifice of praise. When there's things like that, so allow the Holy Spirit to do something. Because if you're obedient to the Lord in this, then He's going to work something in you and in for your future. I had a prophetic word yesterday. You remember Nick Goff? And I was kind of like, he just called me out of the blue. Of course, I called him out of the blue a while back, so I think he was calling me out of the blue back. But anyway, we were talking and chatting, and finally I just had got my head together and says, "Would you pray for me?" Because that's actually an invitation for him to prophesy, you know. He sees a lot of incredible miracle touches of God, and they're just a tremendous, tremendous. And we'll have him back. I texted him after that. But anyway, he had pointed out to me, you know, you've had pressure on every single side, and it's been a season of tremendous difficulty. And then he said, and so I was thinking, if I tell the people this, they go, "Yeah, that's yeah." There were some times he came in here, he looked like death warmed over. But anyway, what happened is, he said, there's been a season of pruning. And in my spirit now, I really do feel like a bud, a little bud, just broke soil, a new, or just beginning to show up. And I have a new sense of life and strength that's coming into me, and promise and things that the Lord wants to do. And I believe this season right here, this coming up to Good Friday, we break the fasting or whatever you're going to hold back. By the way, the fasting could be a day or two or three or one a week or whatever, but it's something that you're saying, "Lord, I want to participate in this." I'll never forget, Heather's father was an alcoholic, and she used to have a glass of wine. We're not against people drinking, but for us, there's this sense of the Lord saying, "Remove this from your life, because you never know who you're going to be ministering to, and you want to have a heart and life that can touch in any degree in people's lives." And the Lord said to her, "Quit having your evening glass of wine." And so she just went and poured it right out. And at the end of that time, she ended up reading a book about codependency and found out that I was very addictive in my nature. She was very enabling in her nature. And we went on a course of a deep-rooted healing after that. And that fasting time set in motion a powerful time of transformation for us. So I just want you to know that the first thing that the Lord whispered in my heart says, I want to clear out any kind of the muddy waters of people being able to hear me. And I want to sharpen my people's ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them individually. And so let's go ahead and put up that scripture. I want us to look at this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Isn't that wonderful? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. I wanted to point this out because during this season, this is a kind of a context for this. We're submitting ourselves afresh to God, leading up to this time of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And Jesus did that. He resisted the devil, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's something that I want to invite you to do, and we're going to look at the different ways to do this, but draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's just different ways to go about that, but I want you to be renewed and refreshed in your heart, and I want to look at one other scripture in there. This is Joshua. This is Joshua going into the promised land. Look at this scripture. It says, consecrate yourselves. And to consecrate means to set yourselves apart for God, to totally set yourself apart for God. Now, the reason I got into this message is my wife said to me, okay, so you're a pastor and you're calling your people to a 40-day fast. I'm new, I'm a new believer, I'm new in the flock, or I'm just new to all this kind of stuff. What direction would you give me? I thought, honey, this is brilliant. Let me go ahead and camp on that and just pray about that. Because the Lord has means to do things. When he says, for instance, when you give, don't go spouting it out, you know, everywhere. Just give kind of like a bad piano player. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, you know. Just go ahead and give. You can laugh. That was funny to me. It wasn't in my head only. It came out. It says, when you pray, you know, pray in secret, your Father rewards you openly. So there's kind of those little techniques. The Lord says, I want you to live this way. Don't be like hypocrites. And when you're fasting, don't walk around, oh, gosh, you know, oh, man, I'm fasting. And just you know, make sure you don't look so downcast and just do it as unto the Lord. And he says, and he will reward you. These are the ways that the Lord talks about this. So, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I love that verse because it's all about promised land stuff. And when he says, he called the people of Israel, and we're going to talk about this consecration more toward the end too, but I wanted to plant the seed here, to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Man, I just want to get into it. Tell you what, let's just get into the whole flow of it. This will go pretty quick. The very first thing that the devil does when he gets up in Jesus' business and he's vulnerable, and because he's not eaten in 40 days, and let me go ahead and just mention, this is not the first point, but this is a truth, when you're vulnerable, that's when he attacks. And he comes when you're down. He comes when you're not doing so good. He comes when you're weak in some particular way. He comes at a point of vulnerability and tries to camp there and communicate with you in a such a way to ensnare you. He does that, doesn't he? And the first thing he says to Jesus is, if you're the Son of God. Now, the first thing he does is sow doubt in your mind about your identity in Christ. It's the nature of his assault that he always comes and throws an if at you. I want you to go ahead and throw something back. Well, what if what Jesus said is all true? And he defeated you. What if that? Because he never changes his MO. He says, he always throws in an if about, like every single time God speaks a word to you, it's going to be some kind of an if. Well, what about that? And try to bring that down and to try to steal it away and try to get that out of your life. Isn't that right? But now, during this season, I believe the Lord wants to speak both corporately and individually to us. Now, I want to go ahead and say, this is not to slap anybody around, but he's going to speak to you. Let's open our ears. The Lord has something to say to each person. He wants to alert your spirit to what he wants to drop in you. You might think in your mind, well, I'm so dull. No, the Lord is speaking, and he wants you to hear what he has to say to you, and it's very meaningful for you. I want you to be alerted to the fact that the Lord wants to say some things to each of us, and you will learn how to cultivate what he says and how to help it grow in your life. Anybody want to do that? Because that's how the promises are fulfilled. Most of us run out there and want to do something on our own. Just like, you know, Moses thought he was the deliverer, right? He was the deliverer. And then he went and killed somebody and he got in trouble. He was too soon. How many of you had a promise of God and you went and tried to fulfill it on your own power? See, it's learning to walk with God. It's amazing how many people go, pew. Aren't you glad for David's example on that? David was such an incredible example on not jumping the gun. He was anointed way back, but he held off and held off and held off till God positioned him. It's amazing. You can do it right. And I'm going to go ahead and say most of what God says to us prophetically, we're not ready to do it usually at that time. There's the prophetic word, then there's the fulfillment of it, but what happens in the middle? There's the process that he walks you through to become what he wants you to become. And it's usually a character thing. It's usually dealing with things. And by the time you get to the end of it, it's different than what you heard. But it was the hope that put in there, and the direction, and the fulfillment, and all the things that come about are a little bit different. So he comes and he says, if you're the Son of God, then turn these stones into loaves of bread. And Jesus says, he responds, here's first fill in the blank. Let's go ahead and first fill in the blank. I want you to focus on what Jesus focuses on. To walk through this season, this is the idea. He focuses on three specific things, and these three things cause him to succeed, and they cause you to succeed. So he focuses on the Word of God. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Just say that. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now that means it's a life-giving thing because God spoke it to you. All right? I want to go ahead and mention to you something about the Bible itself. This is really exciting to know. The Bible is the only book in the world. There's books written about the Bible, but you'll hear what I'm saying. It's the only book in the world that tells us God is love. The religions of the world don't say that. There's not a one of them. Christianity is the source of the very idea that God is love. You don't get it in Buddhism, Islam. It's not there. It's not there. Christianity is the source. And then he came down and lived it. Hinduism, it's not there. It's not there. You can't find it. God is love is because Jesus came down and died for us while we're yet sinners. So don't assume that they have the same thing we have. Because we have. Every other religion is all about a performance. It's something you have to do. And the gospel is something that Jesus has already done. That's a big difference. Our whole salvation is based on what Jesus Christ has done and you receiving what he has done. And that's the essence of it. The miracle transformation happens in the heart when you receive what he's done for you. Praise the Lord. How many of you know the battle's not yours, it's his? How many of you got into the battles and you realize, this is wearing me out? Because the enemy wants to draw you into these things and he wants to tempt you. He says, if you're this, and you, and Jesus could have said, well, wait a minute. He could have gone to this rationale. Well, I don't want to. I could do that, but he didn't get it. He didn't get there. He went right to, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when you receive a word, because doubts will assault you, everything that's going to happen to try to steal that. If you're new in this, I want to encourage you to say, well, I don't know about Bible reading stuff. Okay, here's simple. Ready? Take the book of Luke or the book of John. The reason that for Luke, I just love. Luke is so fun. You know how little fun is? When Mark talks about she'd wasted all her money on doctors, Luke was a doctor and he doesn't say that. This is Mark. She didn't waste her money on doctors. I'm a doctor, you know. This is Luke. Luke is always talking about all the particulars of the healings. Get into Luke. Luke is a great. And what you're going to find there, too, much salvation flows out of eating together. Much salvation and talks, having meals together. And we're going to be doing more of that, promoting more of that, because when you break open the bread at the table, the Lord can break open the bread of His love, and His Spirit can manifest. It's just a powerful thing. So I want us to talk about one other aspect of this. Let's see. I have this verse here. I didn't ask you to put it up. In fact, let's go ahead and hand out those. Can we hand out those real quick? And then I'll, instead of doing this at the end, I'll do it here, and then we'll move so we won't be able to, won't have to do that. There's a verse, it's in this page, and just tuck this away, but I said, if you're beginning, go ahead and read the book of John or the book of Luke. One of the things I've been doing recently is I'm reading through the Psalms, I'm actually praying through the Psalms out of the Message Bible. And if you're in difficult times, that's really, really a good thing to do. Everybody read the Message Bible before? Now, this particular thing I'm giving you has a verse on it, and I want us to go right down where, if you can see right in parentheses right here, it says 1 Timothy 1:18. Can you see that? Not quite right there, 1 Timothy. It says, "This command I commit to you, my son Timothy." Everybody, look at this. "According to the prophecies that were previously given to you." You see that in there? Right here you can look and see 1 Timothy 1:18. And that right above that it says, "This command I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies that were previously given to you, that by them you may fight a good fight." What's this mean? It means that somehow the Word of God, through someone, was prophesied or spoken to him, and it had such an imparting impact about who he was in Christ, who he's to be. Now, the next verse, after this one, it says, "There are those that don't do it." He says, they don't do it with a good conscience, and those people have become shipwrecked. So when there's a prophetic word that's been given you, and the battle comes on, make sure you hold on to it. Because if you give it up, there's many, he says, that are shipwrecked. I have that verse in here. It says, "Holding faith with a good conscience, by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith." So fighting the good warfare. So what we're saying by this is this. As we're focusing on what Jesus is focusing on during this season, you're going to be hearing the Lord say some things to you. Lift up your heart in expectation. Get a journal. Do something. Write it down. Let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to give you something in the midst of your circumstance, and it's going to give you an authority over the circumstance. It's going to cause you to be able to rise up and say, "No, I have this from the Lord." And you can wage a warfare because of what God has put in your spirit. Are you there? Yes. How many of you had your pickets pocked by the devil before? Pickets pocked. Your pockets picked. And it's like, what happened, you know, because there was something that you knew was supposed to happen, but you let go of it. And you're not supposed to put the promises on the shelf and let go of them. You're supposed to bring them up before the Lord. It's part of the relationship. It's part of the fellowship. It's part of what He wants you to do. Don't have a word and just sit it way back. Bring them out. Oh, I'm on to something here. The Lord has said some things, and you guys, many of us, have neglected them and put them on the shelf. This is the season. Get them back out. This is the season. Wake up. Get them back out. Look at them and take them before the Lord, and take them before the Lord and declare them and get them activated in your life again. I was about to say, throw manure on them. Oh, that's weird. I don't even know what the analogy would be there. But take everything that's humbled you, because that humus is where they get humility, and hummus and humus, whatever. Take everything that's broken down and say, "I'm going to just put this right in the midst of all of my weakness, all of the pain, and I'm going to say this word is a life-giving word to me. It's a seed, it's a promise, and I'm going to stand in it." Let's praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's an awakening to the things. There's a fresh budding coming forth. There's a season, because things, there's seasons. As if you don't get weary in due season, you will reap. And there's a season right ahead of us. There's a season right ahead of us. And the Lord is doing something. So consecrate ourselves, for tomorrow He'll do wonders among us. He's doing something. He's getting us ready. Let's do not turn into some religious group. Let's maintain the fact that we're the vital members of the kingdom of the living God, and He manifests His kingdom, and there's a fruitfulness that's begat through our lives as we walk with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Focus on the Word. Focus on the Word. Focus on the Word. It says every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Open your ears. I'm camping on this. The Lord is going to speak to you. Open His Word and let Him speak to you. The Lord has sent me today. I'm kind of like one of those guys. I stopped by City Church on my way to heaven to give you a word that the Lord is going to speak to you and give you a future and a hope and cause things that enshackled your life to go. Amen. To cause things to break off that used to be there. This is time because look, it's like the winter, even though it's, you know, it's a good day out there, a little rain, but it's, and we had the snow. Sometimes winters can be in summers, you know, as far as spiritually speaking. This one seems to match up just a tad. And I love sunshine anytime I can get it. But there's something that the Lord is saying in the midst of this. And it's time to get our ears and hear. Man, I just feel like I'm serious about the prophetic busting forth in you. In each of us, when we even adjured you during the prayer circles, get your heart wrapped around life-giving flow of words from the Word. Be in the Word. Open to it. Open to it. Open to it. That a couple of messages ago, the Lord said, I've saved the best to last. He said to me, the reason I brought you to downtown is because all the things I've done in your life, none of that's going to compare to what I'm about to do because I'm saving the best for last. Now that's just reading. That was just reading in the wedding of Cana. And the Lord says, here, I'm going to talk to you out of this text. I'm speaking to you, son. I'm saving the best for last. And then my heart lit up because something was vibrant. I was like, whoa, because the Lord has to blow a trumpet and shake us sometimes and say, hey, you know, run through the camp and ding, 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 and get you all woken up, right? And He is saying, I'm going to breathe my word into your spirit. So get the wax out of your ears. Do whatever you can to make time to open up to Him. Let me encourage you and motivate you to open the Word of God this week more than ever. And listen to His word and get out something to write down. And here's the other thing. The Lord's already been faithful in so many ways. Just write those down. Write them down, because when He's faithful and you take courage to write it down and take remembrance of it, He gets into that. He notices the thankful. Let me tell you, God notices the thankful. He gives you more to be thankful about. It's like priming the pump. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the point number two. Point number two is the wisdom of God. I'm going to share it this way. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Just go ahead and tell somebody else to. That's not even common sense. And see, the devil will try to get you something that sounds spiritual because he uses the rationality of the Word of God. He says he'll command his angels to be concerning you and on their hands they'll bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. The devil will always, a doctrine of demons will always take a scripture out of context and change the spirit of it and use it to try to confuse. And Jesus looks back and says, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. The devil is a religious spirit who misuses the Bible to trick believers to do foolish things. Jesus said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In other words, instead of doing a foolish thing, Jesus exemplified wisdom. In our postmodern culture today, just want to take a little time camp right here. Many of the, because, let me just say this, postmodern just simply means that Jesus is not at the heartbeat in the culture, that the gospel is no longer at the heartbeat of the culture. Yet, here's an amazing thing. Everybody who is a millennial now is reaping the benefits of the gospel of love and mercy and justice in the culture today. Even though you remove Jesus from it, you're still benefiting from the generation before that loved the Lord and walked with the Lord. You see what I'm saying? And there are these things that they're like they're defeating statements that trap people in their mind. One of them is this: there are no absolutes. Do you realize the statement that was just said is an absolute? It falls flat. So if there are none, then that's not available to you to have. Because there are not any absolutes. So an absolute statement, that is an absolute, so that can't be. Are you there? And so we're talking about this devil wanting people to jump off of a cliff. Go up in a high place and jump off. And I'm going to tell you two vulnerabilities in our culture where people just jump off. One of them is financially, and one of them is sexually. These are two areas. I call them the earnings and the yearnings, or the money and the honey. And because it's like, well, if there's no absolute, and it's like the truth, the idea is, here's the other one. There is no absolute, there's no authority. There's no absolute authority. Well, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. It falls flat. You're saying that your authority, there's an authority. There's an authority over your life. It's the true and living God. We don't want to hear it. And usually, if somebody grew up in the church and they go off to college and they come back and they're wrestling with God, usually ask them this question. You know, if they start saying, I'm starting to believe in evolution or stuff like that, instead of questioning the existence of God, all you have to do, let's lean in and just pretend we're in a counseling session right now, because this is counseling session stuff. You say, who are you sleeping with? Because now, see, what's happened is the door has been opened up to a spirit of deception sexually. And so now we're not too interested in God anymore because we're given to the works of the flesh. It really isn't about God. And it's about disobedience. It's about that. How many of you have walked down that path before and already blown it there and you realize it takes a little doing to get out of that mess? Right? Jesus will get you out of any of it. So the point of this whole passage is there is a wisdom that the Lord wants you to have. When it comes to even the financial stuff, get this one. This blows my mind. The Pharisees took 30 pieces of silver that was tithed out of the tithing box in the temple and gave it to Judas. They gave tithe money to betray the living God. Isn't that something? Judas can't live with himself and brings it all back. And now because they betrayed with it, they don't want to put it back in the box. So they want to go and they buy a field with it to bury his body. And here's the funny thing about this. How many of us betray the Lord with our money? He says, first 10%. First fruits, first 10%. You know, the whole little section, I've loved this passage, but I didn't realize what it was all tied around. When he says to Cain, he says, you're going to, sin is crouching at the door and wants to rule over you. That's all tied around the money, the first fruits. Satan wants to rule over you. So that don't allow yourself to be one who betrays the Lord in your own. To break over, use the wisdom of God and don't fall prey to the fears. Are you there? And then the last, I wanted to get to the last point, but I have a little scripture here. Proverbs 7:23, the little B, the part says, as far as sexual failure, it says, as a bird rushes into a snare, he, the person involved in sexual failure, does not know that it will cost him his life. Cost him his life. And you know how people fall into sin. It's basically like this. The devil says, God loves you. He loves you. God will forgive you. He loves you. God loves you. Go ahead and sin. He loves you. Oh, God never judge you. Never judge you. No, God doesn't judge. Go ahead and sin. And so you go ahead. And then he changes his tune. Oh, he's judging you now. He's judging you now. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. God's holy. Oh, God's holy. Plays down the love and plays up the holy. And now you're in torment. Why did I have sex with that person? Now I'm in a snare and it's costing me what I didn't want it to cost me. Isn't that amazing? That's what he does. So use wisdom, everybody. Say, use wisdom. Use wisdom. So jumping off the cliff produces broken people. What'd you say? That was a really brilliant statement there. And during this fast, God releases healing and freedom. And this is what he says in Isaiah 58:6. He says, isn't this not the fast I chose to loose the bonds of wickedness? Yes. Hallelujah. To undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. So if you have stepped into something you wish you wouldn't have, or you've gone down a road that you wouldn't, during this time, there's a breaking forth and a releasing and a healing presence of the Lord. Let's praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And number three, the worship of God. Number three, the worship of God. The Word of God, the wisdom of God, This was, and again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship. Everybody say worship. Worship. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. It was Martin Luther in his catechism that basically pointed out that the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, set the tone, and that everything after that was basically done out of a sense of idolatry. It's really an open thing. So here's, I want to just point this out. Idols never deliver on their promise. Never. I want to, look, guys. Worship the Lord first. Here, if a person, and there's people that do this, they make beauty their idol. I want to tell you this right now. The person that makes beauty their idol will always feel ugly. It's the way it works. When you put this sense of perfection about beauty, you will always feel, you will walk with, I'm ugly. And yet, beauty's your idol, because that's what the idol of beauty does to you. It makes you see all your imperfections, right? The idol of money always makes you feel like you'll never have enough and be fearful. It doesn't matter how many billions a person has, they'll always somehow be tormented with the idea because that God doesn't bring the satisfaction and fulfillment. Being high on a drug or alcohol, that's your idol, you always end up despairing and depression. The high is the lie. The low is where you go. That's what happens there. It's really true. It eats you alive. It's a trick. Those idols, and an idol, well, look at the last little phrase on the side of your page, on the front of your page. It says, an idol will always break your heart because no created thing can bear the freight of your hopes or the weight of your soul's longings. Nothing can. Now, turn that down just a little bit in the house here. So we talked about consecration during this season. Everybody who's still with me? Let's say word of God, wisdom of God, worship of God. Now, consecration. Consecration, everybody listen, we're finishing with this. Consecration is a process of surrender that never ends, really, in our hearts. Prayer is the catalyst, and so this season of prayer, I'm inviting you to consecrate your life, to set yourself apart. On January the 12th, 1723, Jonathan Edwards made a solemn dedication of himself to God. He consecrated himself, all of himself, to God. Anybody know who Jonathan Edwards is? He's he was famous for a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and he was the primary and the first awakening, one of the primary voices. I'll get to some of the blessings that happened, but here's what he wrote down. He wrote down his dedication. He says, I made a solemn dedication of myself to God, and I wrote it down, giving up myself and all that I had to God to be for the future in no respect my own, to act as one who had no right to himself in any respect, and solemnly vowed to take God for my whole portion and felicity, which means source of happiness, looking on nothing else as any part of my happiness, nor acting as if it were. In other words, he says, I dedicated myself that he alone would be the source of all my happiness. Now watch what he got out of this. Along with his pastorate in Northampton, Massachusetts, he served as the president of Princeton University. Of his known descendants, there were more than 300 ministers or missionaries, 120 university professors, 60 authors, 30 judges, 3 members of Congress, and 1 vice president. Look what happens when you consecrate your life. Look at the blessing that flows to the generations after you. That's an impressive family legacy, isn't it? Let's go ahead and stand together. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder there and just say, Lord bless my sister, my brother, Lord bless them. And let's lift our heads to the Lord. Now the Lord has come and says to you today, I'm speaking my word into your heart, my child. And as I speak my word into your heart, it will produce things that you're not of right now. I'm going to cause there to be blessing come and overtake your life. I'm causing blessing to come and overtake your life. Now, on the basis of this message, I'm going to go ahead and add this. So therefore, have no other gods before him. Do everything in your power to serve only the true and living God. Let his acts be put to the root of everything that would pull you away. and become a worship center for the living God. Father God, we just speak this over your children, that they would become fruitful, amazingly fruitful. There are certain ones of you that feel lonely at night, and the Lord has seen you and wants you to understand. When you feel that way, open to His love, He's going to wrap His arms around you. He's going to cause His Spirit to minister to you, and you won't be feeling lonely. The Lord wants you to understand that He's going to take the lonely feelings away if you turn to Him. And you'll have a fruitful sense inside, of a sense of His love seated into your heart. Just praise the Lord for that one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord sees our need emotionally, sees our need financially, sees our need relationally, sees our need. So, Lord, we speak your blessing. Amen. Go ahead and hug on somebody. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.